Well, thank you, Morris and Melanie, for that message and song. And thank God the Lord Jesus has made a way through the cross. And tonight there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open where all can go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. We welcome you warmly in the Lord's name. Are you all enjoying the heat? Are you? You don't have to go to Tenerife any longer. You can just stay in Ulster. And it's going to be a job for me to keep you awake this evening. But I'll tell you what, if you go to sleep, I'll call you by name. It's lovely to see you, and we welcome you warmly. And we trust that God will bless us this evening as we have gathered in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few announcements. On Thursday night at 8 o'clock, it's our midweek service. Next Sunday, in the will of the Lord, I hope to be the preacher on both occasions at 11 and 7. And the soloist at the evening service will be Jim Ferguson. It is the youth rally. It's the final one next Sunday evening. And what a blessing that has been down through the winter months. And Morris himself is responsible next Sunday evening. And the subject is staying in tune. I did say that William Shields is going to the Isle of Man. Colin Highlands is also going abroad. Kyrgyzstan, I think it is. Do remember these folk in prayers. Remember our guest service on Sunday, the 24th of June. Mrs. Ruth Maxwell from Dungannon will be here to give our life story. We had Robert here one night, her husband. Robert's the pastor and minister of the Independent Methodist Church there at the Moy in Dungannon. And Ruth's his wife. And she'll be coming to give her life story on Sunday, the 24th of June at 7 o'clock. So do please keep that in mind. If you have a copy of the Word of God tonight, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel by Matthew. The Gospel by Matthew. And we're reading at chapter 26. And we're reading at verse 47. The Gospel by Matthew. And we're reading at chapter 26. And we're reading at verse 47. And I want to talk to you tonight on the subject 30 pieces of silver. Just 30 pieces of silver. Just the price of a slave. And we're reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. And verse 47. And while he yet spake, that is the Lord Jesus, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with stores and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, heal, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wasn't that so gentle and gracious of the Savior? Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And then over to chapter 27 and verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and scribes, saying, I have sinned, in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Ending at verse 10, and may the Lord bless to our hearts the public reading of his own word. Let's turn to 271 in our hymn books, and then Morris and Melanie will come and bring to us their final piece. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss, till now unknown. 271. Again to Morris and Melanie, and they're going to come now and bring to us their final piece. Thank you.
Troubles and care, I know that Jesus, my Savior, is there, giving me faith through darkest days, keeping me on the narrow way. Jesus, Savior, help me each day. Fill me with Jesus lived through darkest pain, rejected by men, despising the shame. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, he gave his life so we may be free.
And song. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the gospel that has been clearly sung this evening. And we pray, Lord, now that as we come to thy word, that we might know the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray for any, Lord, in the gathering tonight who are not saved and some who are not sure. Father, that you would speak even to one tonight right into their heart. Bring them to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it for their good and for your glory. Amen. Now, there's one final passage that I want you to turn to tonight. It's in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. And maybe when you're turning to that passage tonight, if you're at a door and you could let in a wee bit of fresh air, it would help. Now, I don't know if you're feeling like I am tonight. I'm about ready to pass out and I haven't started. I don't want you passing out tonight, but if we could maybe just have a door open, even for a moment or two, just to let a breath of fresh air in, because it is really close. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, and we're reading at verse 15. Acts 1 and verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Judas. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Some people ask the question, well, why did the Lord Jesus choose Judas? Well, one of the answers is that prophecy might be fulfilled. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. The lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. When Leonardo da Vinci was painting his masterpiece, The Last Supper, he sought for someone who would stand as a model for his Christ. At last he located a chorister in one of the churches in Rome. A chorister, a young man who was finely featured, who had lovely features, who was beautiful to look upon. And that young man's name was a man by the name of Pietro Bandinelli. Years passed, and all the paintings on the canvas, all the pictures on the canvas had been painted. All the disciples had been painted except one, Judas Iscariot. And now the artist was going through the streets of Rome, and he was looking for a man whose face was hardened and disfigured by sin. At last he found a beggar on the streets of Rome with a face so villainous and harsh that every time he looked upon that face he shuddered and shivered. He hired the man to sit, and he painted the face of Judas Iscariot on the canvas. When he was about to dismiss the man said to him, Sir, don't you remember me? And pointing to the picture of Christ on the canvas, he said, I was your model for Jesus Christ many years ago. I am Pietro Bandinelli. You ever think, my dear friends, of what Judas could have become? I mean, like the other faithful 11 disciples, he could have gone out to sacrificial service, noble martyrdom, rewards and glories. Cities, churches, children have been named after the 11 apostles. Judas could have been remembered as a tremendous missionary apostle. Instead, he is known as a traitor. Why? Because of 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. 10 pounds. Just the price of a slave. I mean, can you credit it? Can you think of it? Can you imagine it? Judas Iscariot betrayed the sinless Son of the living God for a mere handful of silver, a mere pittance indeed. But then what are you willing to trade Christ off for? How much is the Lord Jesus worth to you tonight? Are you willing to sell him for a friendship, a farm, a business deal, a drink, popularity? It may not be for silver, it may not be for gold, but still by tens of thousands is this precious Savior sold. Sold for a godless friendship, sold for a selfish aim, sold for a fleeting trifle, sold for an empty name, sold in the mart of science, sold in the seat of power, soul in the shrine of fortune, sold in pleasure's bower, sold with the awful bargain. None but God's eye can see. ponder my soul the question, will he be sold by thee? We do not know how or when Judas became a follower of the Lord Jesus. We do know how that he was chosen by the Lord and given the greatest opportunity ever afforded to mortal man. I mean, think of this tonight. His name might have been immortalized forever and written in the foundation stones of the celestial city. Instead, it has gone down in history as synonymous with treachery and shame. Let me ask you a question tonight, and think about it carefully. Have you ever in your life met a man named Judas? Now, have you? Have you ever met a man whose mother gave him the name of Judas? You may have met some in your life named Jude, but even the Beatles wouldn't write a song entitled, Hey, Judas. I have never met a man whose mother named him Judas. It's even worse than that. Have you ever met a master who has named his dog Judas? You see, Judas is so despised. Why? Because he sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Think with me tonight how he deceived the saints. You see, Judas played the part of a disciple with great skill. He was accepted without question by others, by the 11 others, as being in full fellowship with them and their love and loyalty to the Lord Jesus, but he was a hypocrite. But he was so good a hypocrite, he was so good at putting on the mask, that not even the others, the 11 disciples, detected him. Here was a man who was living a life of deception. Think with me tonight. Judas deceived the disciples in his witness. You remember that Christ spent all night in prayer to the Lord, his Father, before choosing the 12 disciples. And he chose those 12 men that they might witness for him. That they might go forth, he sent them forth to preach. Judas was a preacher. Judas was an evangelist. Judas was sent out with the others in their evangelistic activity to tell others about Jesus Christ. He had in all probability shared with others in casting out demons in the name of Christ. Probably he healed the sick in the name of Jesus Christ. He was among those who rejoiced in evident evangelical victories. They came back to the Lord on one occasion and said, Lord, even the very demons are subject to us. And yet, despite the fact that he was chosen by Christ, that he was living with Christ, that he was working for Christ, he wasn't saved. He played the game of hypocrisy and he was deceptive in relation to the witness that he gave. Let me challenge you tonight. Maybe you're here and you're seeking to serve God. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're a pastor. Maybe you're an elder. Maybe you're a Good News Club teacher. Maybe you're a member of this church or that church. But that doesn't mean that you're right with God. In 1738, John Wesley set out as a missionary to Georgia, then a colony in the United States of America. And after 2 years of missionary work in America, here's what John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said. He said, I went out there to convert the heathen, but who shall convert me? I wonder tonight, are you fooling people? Do you know in your heart that you're one thing? And yet others look upon you tonight and they may think that you're something else. I wonder, do folk tonight view you some way? And yet you know in your heart and God knows you in another way. Have you grasped this tonight? That you could serve on a church board. That you could sing in the choir. You could preach from the pulpit. You could give out hymn books at the door. And yet truly never be born again. But Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto you, I never knew you. Judas preached for the Lord. He participated in the work of God. And yet he never came to know Christ. He deceived the disciples in his witness. And then he deceived the disciples in his work. I mean, the only profession, the only office among the 12 disciples was treasurer. He was the holder of the only office they had. But the same passage that tells us that Judas was the treasurer tells us that Judas began to pilfer out of the funds, that he was the keeper of the money, and he used to help himself to what was put into it. No doubt it started in a small way. Maybe he just borrowed a coin or two from the bank. And then his stealing became regular, and the Lord Jesus knew that, of course. And he knew that Judas was beginning to sell his soul for the love of money. On one occasion, the sister of Lazarus, Mary, took that box of expensive perfume and she poured it out on the body, the head of the Lord Jesus, the person of the Lord Jesus. She just wanted to express her love for the Lord Jesus, and she anointed the feet of the Savior, and the disciples began to grumble, and it was Judas who said, we could have sold that perfume and given the money to the poor. Now, it wasn't because that Judas loved the poor. It was because he loved the money. And greed was beginning to gnaw at his heart like a cancer. It was secretly and silently and subtly devoured him. Later he goes to the chief priest and he says, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. As far as the disciples were concerned, he was a man of integrity. He was a man of honesty. He was a man of sincerity. But he was deceiving. I wonder, is that what you're doing? Maybe you have a responsible position in life, but you're pilfering from the funds. Maybe you're diddling the books and pocketing your money. Maybe you're cheating the employer. Maybe you thought that you would bother just a little, but you've discovered that sin takes you further than you want to go. Sin keeps you longer than you want to stay. Sin keeps you more than you want to pay. Here's Judas, and he's deceiving the saints. He's deceiving the saints in his witness. He's deceiving the saints in his work. He's deceiving the saints in his worship. Can't you see Judas? As he sits down at the table, the Passover table, to celebrate the Passover with the disciples, and the Lord Jesus is in the midst. And for one moment, the disciples, never suspected that he was the traitor. Even as they ate the Last Supper, they didn't suspect him. And when the Lord Jesus gave him the sop, when he gave it to Judas, the disciples couldn't believe. They couldn't bring themselves to believe that Judas was the traitor. Even when he left the table and went out into the darkness of the night to gather up the mob that was to arrest Jesus, the disciples did not suspect him. You remember what the Lord says, Judas, what you do, do quickly. And he went out into the darkness of the night. And I can hear his wooden sandals hitting the cobbled streets of Judea. And isn't it interesting that Judas was going to hell and Christ never moved? The disciples thought that he was going out to give something to the poor. The disciples thought that he was going out to minister to those in need. Even as he sat at the Passover table, he was deceptive. He deceived the saints, but never once did he deceive the Savior. The Lord Jesus could see right through him. It was the Savior who said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Easy to deceive the Christians, isn't it? All too easy to be accepted by a child, all to be easy to accept, to be accepted as a child of God, to be to be among a group of believers, to be a member of this local church or that local church. It's all so easy to be taking part in the services, to hold the office of deacon, elder, pastor, preacher, whatever, to sit at the Lord's table, and yet never truly be saved. Would those who are among us tonight who are young not agree with me when I say it's so easy to deceive when you've been brought up surrounded by Christian things? So easy to speak the language. So easy to know the cliches of the Christian life. so easy to sit at the Lord's table, so easy to pass in this local church as a Christian, when all of the time there has never been a true work of grace wrought in your heart. My friend, you may deceive the Christians, you may deceive your parents, you may deceive the elders, you may deceive the leadership of this church or any church, but you'll never deceive the Lord. He sees right through you tonight. And all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Think how Judas deceived the saints. And then think with me of the second picture. Think how Judas despised the Savior. I mean, here was a man who lived with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, he was a close associate of Christ. He walked with him. He talked with the Son of the living God. He sat under the stars with him. He listened to Jesus Christ. And yet Judas despised all the Lord's words. I mean, can you imagine the privilege that Judas Iscariot had? He was with the Lord when the Lord told and ministered on the Sermon on the Mount. He was with the Lord Jesus when Jesus told about the parables of the Good Samaritan, the lost sheep, the prodigal son, as they fell from the lips of the Savior. Can you imagine Judas with the 11 going along those windy roads in Judea and sitting down at the roadside and the living Lord expounding unto him the Scriptures, listening to the words of the Savior, and yet Judas became gospel hardened. He heard the messages so often. He listened to the words of the incarnate Son, and yet it failed to have any permanent impression on his soul. He was like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and having heard the sayings of Jesus, he paid no attention to them at all. Wonder, is Judas tonight just a picture of you? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You're not a Christian. And you're despising the Lord's words. Maybe you have a contempt in your heart for the Word of God. Maybe you've heard all the teachings of Jesus. Maybe from childhood you've been taught the Scriptures. Maybe you can look back tonight and your mother shared with you the stories of the Bible. You went to Sunday school, perhaps a Christian friend shared with you the good news of the Gospel. And some of you are here tonight. And you've been cradled in the means of grace, and you've heard the Gospel so often, but have you become gospel hardened? Oh, the first time you heard it, it pricked your heart, it pricked your conscience. But now you hear the Gospel and the mission, and so for so many years, and you just yawn in the face of Jesus Christ. The message has no longer any impact on you. Possible to know all the Lord's words and yet go out into the darkness of a lost eternity. Judas despised all the Lord's words. And then he despised all the Lord's works. I mean, he saw the miracles of Jesus. Imagine. And Judas was once in a boat with Christ and the disciples when a storm arose. And the disciples panicked. They woke the Master. They said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Judas looked on the Son of God. And he saw that Jesus Christ had power over nature. He was there when lepers were cleansed. He was there when the blind were made to see and the dumb were made to speak and the deaf were made to hear. And Judas saw that this Lord Jesus had power over nature. He had power over sickness. He witnessed demons fleeing in terror from the Son of God, crying out their acknowledgement. He saw that Christ had power over Satan. He saw the Lord Jesus taking the loaves and the fishes, and those loaves and fishes, they multiplied in the hands of Christ. It's incredible tonight. But Judas was there when the very dead were being raised, and he shut his eyes to all of this. Let me ask you tonight, are you a picture of Judas? Do you know all about the Lord's miracles? Maybe tonight in your family you know miracles. Living miracles of saving grace. Maybe God has come into your family tonight and He's moved through your family in tremendous power. Maybe you've seen God do miracles in your family, but you're still not sealed. Back in June last year, 2011, Catherine and I attended a family wedding in Randallstown. It was held at the meeting house. And Gareth, Catherine's nephew, was getting married to Stacey. And at that wedding, George Bates preached a straight gospel message. It was as if he was preaching in a mission, straight from the shoulder. During their honeymoon, Stacey sought the Lord. She came home changed by the power of the living God. The Lord touched her in a mighty way. She became like Naaman's little maid. She started to influence her family. Her father and mother, who had attended the meeting house for years but were backslidden, she brought them again under the influence of God's word, and they were restored by the power of God. And then she began to reach out to her family. And she reached out to her sister-in-law, Cheryl Lee, who was married to Gareth's brother, Neil. And she got her under the sound of the gospel into the meeting house. And she got gloriously saved. And then she brought David, another McIntyre, under the influence of the gospel. And they arrived here on Sunday, the 5th of February this year. And that night, Morris preached at 7 o'clock the gospel. And at 9 o'clock, the youth rally was held. And in between the two services, I had a quick word with David. And I realized that he was near, but I didn't realize how near he was. At 9 o'clock, Everett Smith got up and preached on serving the Lord. Not the gospel, serving the Lord. And in the middle of that youth rally, David cried out to God for mercy and was saved. But the Lord hadn't finished. A few weeks later, Stacy's husband, Gareth, was at the meetings in Randallstown. And he sent for one of the brethren. And one Monday night, he too got gloriously saved. God hadn't finished. For at the mission last week with David Legg, Stacy's own sister found Christ. And then on Thursday night, last, Stacy's own brother found Christ. And it hasn't finished. And maybe, my dear friend, you've seen that. Isn't it wonderful when God works through a family? And maybe you've seen God working through a family. Maybe you've seen God working through your family. Maybe you've seen people who have been genuinely saved by the grace of God, but you're still not saved. Listen, Judas despised all the Lord's words. Judas despised all the Lord's works. And then Judas despised all the Lord's warnings. The Lord Jesus said, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And Judas heard it and he ignored it. Over and over again, Jesus Christ gave Judas an opportunity to repent. And when the Savior announced in the upper room that one of the 12 would betray him, Judas brazenly took his place with Peter, James, John, the rest. And he said, "Lord, it is I. Is it I?" He said it without a blush, without a bat of the eye, and the 30 pieces of silver were in his purse. Even in Gethsemane, when he laid a kiss upon the brow of Jesus, the Savior said, "Friend, think of it. A man who kissed the door of heaven and went to hell." You not aware tonight of the Savior's warnings? It was the Lord Jesus who warned about the danger of hell fire. It was the Master who said, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" It was the Lord Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." My friend tonight, what have you done with the Savior's warnings? Have you treated them with respect or contempt? Have you treated them with caution or carelessness? Have you treated them with interest or with indifference? Listen, Judas is lost tonight. He despised the Savior. He turned his back on the Lord Jesus. Is that what you're doing? There's a third picture that I want you to see of Judas tonight. How Judas deceived the saints, how Judas despised the Savior, how Judas destroyed his soul. He had every opportunity to repent. And he went to a suicide's grave, and the Bible says he went to his own place. He went to his own place. Judas destroyed his soul for temporal pleasure. He betrayed the Lord Jesus for a couple of handfuls of silver. His sin was that he preferred something to Jesus Christ. For him, it was money in hand. What is it for you? Is it pleasure? Is it a friendship? Is it business deal? Is it a drink? Is it popularity? What are you willing to trade Christ off? Is there a young lady tonight whose boyfriend is trying to get you to sleep with him and you're seriously considering it? And if you do, you're going to sell out Jesus Christ who died on a cross and shed his blood that you might be pure. Is there a young man tonight and you're thinking about doing something illegal, something dishonest in a business deal? And if you do, you're going to sell out your soul and sell out the one who died on the cross that you might be honest. I mean, how much is the Lord Jesus worth to you? For Judas, it was 30 pieces of silver, but not a single penny of it did he spend. But when he saw that the Lord Jesus was condemned, he took those 30 pieces of silver and he went to the temple and he scattered them on the marble place. And he said, I've sinned, I've betrayed the innocent blood. Here was a man who was seized with remorse. His conscience was pricked, but he didn't repent unto salvation. You see, outward remorse is not inward repentance. My dear friends, there's a great deal of difference between repentance and remorse. Judas took his sin to the wrong place, to the wrong people. He should have wept his way to that skull-shaped hill of shame outside the city wall. He should have flung his feet at the pierced feet of Jesus, but he went and hanged himself. I wonder tonight, like Judas, have you felt pains and pangs of remorse for sins you've committed, but you've never come right through to repentance? Maybe like Judas at times, your conscience has lashed you. But you've never come to the cross. You've never come to Calvary. Oh, there's been remorse, but there's never been repentance. You say, preacher, I've shed tears. I've made resolutions. I've experienced emotions. You ever repented? You ever turned from your sin? Have you ever made a clean break with it? Judas didn't. He destroyed his soul for temporal pleasure. He destroyed his soul in eternal perdition. What an awful death he had. I watch him. I can see him in my mind's eye. As with trembling hands he takes that rope. And he ties it round the base of a tree. And he takes the other end of the rope and he ties it around his neck. And I see him as with one mad rush. He rushes forward and he jumps over the precipice. And for a moment or two his body is dangling in the air. And then his weight is too heavy for the rope. And it breaks. And there's a dull thud as his body bumps off rock after rock. And down there in the gully below, the scriptures tell me that all his bowels, all his intestines gushed out. What an awful way to die. But that wasn't the end for Judas. You know what Christ said? Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man had he not been born. You know what Peter said? He went to his own place. The place that he had heard his master so often speak about. The place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I hear a voice tonight from the caverns of the damned. I hear a voice from hell tonight. It's the voice of the Iscariot. I hear him crying, I was one of the 12. I heard the messages of Jesus. I saw the miracles of Jesus. I saw people changed by the power of Jesus Christ. I was so close to Jesus Christ. But I'm lost eternally. Now let me ask you tonight in closing. Will you be like Judas? Will you trade the Savior off for something? Will you sell out a heavenly home for some sin? Will you go down into the same hell that Judas went to? Now, there's a difference between Judas and Peter. Peter made his way to the cross. He tells us that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter made his way to the cross. Will you make your way to Calvary tonight, where Melanie has been singing about? Will you come to the cross tonight? Will you come there confessing your need? Will you come there acknowledging your sin? Will you come there tonight and find cleansing through the blood of Jesus? Don't be like Judas. So close. And yet lost for all eternity. I was just reading this past week about Adrian Rogers, famous American preacher. He preached in Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, in Tennessee. He just boarded a plane one day. And he couldn't get a seat beside his wife. And he sat down in the middle of the aircraft, and he wasn't sat down long till a young lady came in and sat down beside him. He started to talk to her. He discovered that she was in the midst of many problems. In fact, he discovered that she was contemplating suicide. As he began to talk to her, he discovered that she was coming from a home where her mother had many problems. She was flying off to another city where her aunt was an alcoholic. And as they conversed together, she asked Adrian Rogers, she said, "Sir, what do you think of suicide?" And immediately Adrian Rogers directed her to the Savior. And after some time explaining the gospel to her, he said, "Now you have a choice to make, dear. Would you like to receive Christ or reject Christ?" And that girl who was contemplating suicide like Judas, there on that aircraft, give her heart and life to Jesus Christ. Will you do that? Let's pray. Now, it's been tough preaching and tough listening in such heat, but I just want to challenge you at the end of the meeting tonight. I wonder, is Judas a picture of you? Maybe you've deceived so many people for so long. Maybe you've been doing this, that, and the other, but you're not truly saved. Maybe you've despised the Lord's pleadings, the Lord's words, His warnings to your heart. Maybe, my friend, tonight you've even contemplated suicide. Oh, tonight, you can be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Don't be like Judas tonight. Don't go out into the darkness and be lost in hell forever. Come to Christ. Come to Him now. Father, I pray tonight for those in the gathering without the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight that Thou wilt speak to them through Your Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray tonight that you would bring someone to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ in this very hour as we look to thee in the Savior's name. Amen. We're going to turn to